Good morning. Good morning and a very warm welcome to Ballyhenry. Really good to be together here this morning. If you are visiting, my name is Niall. I serve as the minister here and it's just lovely to be together and to welcome you along. Because of last week's Jubilee weekend, we are giving folks an opportunity to give to an offering today, either after the service or between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock here this afternoon. And then on Wednesday evening, we have our midweek meeting here in the church. Next Saturday, we have something special happening here, and just to remind us what that is and how you can be part of it, Agnes is going to come up to the lectern and just remind us about that. While Agnes is coming up, let me just remind our elders that there will be a very short elders meeting in the committee room immediately after the service.
Can you hear me? This is just a wee quick reminder about our work day next Saturday at 10 o'clock. We plan to come along and to tidy up the car park and maybe do some wee odd jobs in here. So if you're available, there's quite a number of names in the foyer already, should say the welcome area. So it's great to see that there are so many people volunteering, but there's room for some more. So if you could put your name down, it would be very much appreciated, and bring your hose. H-O-E-S, not H-O-S-E, hose, rakes, trowels, rubber gloves, gardening gloves, buckets, because we're going to just give a general clean up and we'll have a lovely day and then we'll have a light lunch. So looking forward to seeing you all there, and thank you.
You'll be on your way home after your light lunch, and let me really encourage you, great way to get to meet and know people as well as doing something that is good. Can I remind all of you who in any area work with children or young people here in the church that tomorrow evening at 7:30, there is a refresher training evening regarding our child protection. All of you who are involved in this work, I think, should be aware of this by now. I know that some of you are planning to attend this on Zoom, and for those who need the codes have already been sent out. If you are planning to attend tomorrow night's meeting on Zoom, but you haven't had codes sent to you yet, if you email me today, I will send those codes out to you. Let me encourage you to be here for 7:30 and we'll be able to make a sharp start on that, and really good to be able to gather people for that. We have another announcement. It relates to our mission team, which, God willing, is going to Cambodia later this year. So if Gerald wants to come up to the lectern, he'll tell you about that.
Good morning. I prefer standing down there than standing up here. So, as Niall's alluded there, there's a team of us going to Cambodia in October. We met yesterday and had a good time sort of catching up and uniting together and bonding as a team. We've come up with a couple of more general fundraising ideas, and one that are not primarily for the team, but they're for folks in Cambodia where we see a need. The two ideas are, one is, the first one's coppers for Cambodia, and that's not policemen now. We've enough of them. The idea is that if you have loose change lying around the house, that you donate that. We put it in a box for us, and then we count that and then add it to our funds, and we from that we'll be able to make, well, and last time we were there, we were able to buy a guy a guitar. Now the fella was part of the praise group but didn't own his own guitar, so we were able to purchase a guitar for him. So it's that sort of thinking. The Eggshell project have set up a Bible study, so we're looking at the possibility of maybe buying Bibles, New Testament Bibles for that Bible study group, that sort of idea. The other one is Cans for Cambodia. You see where I listen to Niall and get my C's and all in the right place. So Cans for Cambodia is all about drinks cans. So there have to be aluminium cans. And again, just bring them to the church. I'll have a bag and just pop them in there. And what happens is that I can take them to recycling and Bryson Recycling, and they'll give me money for them. It works out about a penny a can. So I mean, we're looking at a lot of cans then. But I've done it. I've had a starter on it, and I've nearly 500. So if yous can match me, then we'll be doing really, really well. Just want to finish off by saying thank you. Thank you to all yous guys. You've been very supportive to us with all our fundraising ideas. And want to just ask you to continue to support us, and both prayerfully and financially, in those two projects. Thank you very much.
Brilliant, Gerald. Thank you very much. In our psalm for today, Psalm 132, we read these words: "The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling, saying, 'This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. Her faithful people will ever sing for joy.'" We're going to stand together to sing the words of our opening hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." And lovely to have Alistair with us leading this morning. We stand together to praise God. Let's pray. Father, the Bible invites us to be still and to know that you are God. And we want to do that, Lord, in this time and in this place now. And to claim that truth for those of us who are here. And to claim that truth for those who are not here, but are very much on our hearts and in our minds this morning. To be still and to know that you are God. Father, thank you for the unspeakable privilege of being able to come to you. We ask that by the death of the Lord Jesus, you would take away the things in our lives which would come in between us and you, or indeed that would come between us and each other. Gather us this morning, we ask, and all for our good and the blessing of others. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I am delighted to welcome a visitor to Ballyhenry. His name is Daniel Black. And before the service, I said, Daniel, keep me right, do I introduce you as Daniel or Dan? And he said, well, people call me Dan. But he says, I'll probably tell people that my name's Daniel. It kind of left me none the wiser. So Daniel, Dan, it's really, really good to have you with us this morning. Dan heads up the work of Christians Against Poverty here in Newton Abbey. And I have invited him along this morning to share with us the great work that they do in our local community. Now, boys and girls, Dan is going to come and speak to you now. And those of you who usually go out to Bible class, you're going to stay in through the service to hear what Dan has to say to us all later on. But as I say, genuinely a very, very warm welcome. You make yourself at home and come on up and chat to the boys and girls.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm Dan, unless you're my mum, in which case I'm Daniel. And I've always been Daniel, and I always will be Daniel. Kids, I've got good news for you today. You don't need to listen to me for very long, except for those that are staying for Bible class, because you're stuck with me for the rest of the time as well. But I will try to be as interesting as possible. For you kids, good thing is, I'm not going to say very much. I'm going to read for you guys a story called Grace and the Grumblies. And I'm going to say just a tiny bit about that, but I think pictures of the book, because you can't see it from here, are going to be on the screen for you guys, okay? So it's called Grace and the Grumblies. So, before she opens her eyes in the morning, Grace knows when it's going to be a dragon-fighting day. She can't hear the normal huffing and puffing and rumbling that comes from his cave in the kitchen, and that can only mean that he's escaped again. It's fine having a dragon in the house when he stays put and doesn't cause any trouble, but when he breaks free from his corner cave, it's up to Mum and Grace to hunt him down. Without the dragon's fire belly to keep the house warm, their breath shoots out in little puffs. They pull on the armor of a pair of mighty knights, reach for their swords, and charge the dragon to put him back in his place. Other days, the lights go out without any warning, like all the fireflies have suddenly gone on holiday. But Grace doesn't mind because they use their laser night vision and set out as brave explorers. They discover dark caves, murky swamps, sinking sand, and they hold hands to keep each other safe. But the worst is when the grumblies come. When the rumblings are just getting started, they can pretend not to hear. They play hide and seek, but it's too easy to find Mum because the grumblies always come for her first. And as they get louder, they give her away. Grace knows it's time to be a superhero. She powers up the ultimate ice-cold water jet and carries it very carefully to Mum's bed. They send the gushing water down into Mum's tummy as fast as they can. When it's all gone, they wait and listen. Did it work? asks Grace. I can't hear the grumblies. Did we wash them all away? You're my superhero, smiles Mum, giving Grace a huge hug. After that, hide and seek is much more fun, and Mum is really good at finding tricky spots. But soon, the rumbling starts again, and it's not long before the grumblies are moaning and groaning and twisting Grace's tummy too. That's when Mum can't stand it any longer. We have to find a way to defeat the grumblies for good, she says. Maybe I'm not such a great superhero, Grace sighs. You are a brilliant superhero, Mum tells her. But every superhero needs a team and a plan and some supplies to get started. So Mum leads the way out of the house, down the road and past the playground. They stop outside a stone building that's bigger than anything Grace has ever seen, but Mum doesn't reach out for the door handle. Suddenly she seems less sure. Come on, Mum, says Grace. Superheroes have to be brave, right? Mum looks at her for a moment, takes a big breath, and pushes open the door. Inside, Grace blinks in the rainbow sunlight. There are lots of people who all look very busy, but are also very friendly. This must be where the superheroes come to get organized. A lady with a smiling face comes over to say hello when she hands Mum a mug of something steaming hot, while a man gives Grace some purple juice and biscuits. The grumblies start to growl in her tummy and the man gives her a kind look. Ah, it's a case of the dreaded grumblies, is it? Grace tells the man about the kitchen dragon and the missing fireflies too. He says, rubbing his chin. It sounds like we've got a mission on our hands. Mum was right, thinks Grace. It's better with a team. The lady is showing Mum an important-looking booklet and writing notes, and the man turns back to Grace. While these two are drawing up a plan of attack, why don't you help me pack up some emergency supplies? And together they fill a bag with packets and jars from a special fuel hatch. This kit is full of things that are great at holding the grumblies back when they're getting too close, he says. Back outside, they put their heads together. Grace shows Mum the supply kit for slowing the grumblies down, and Mum tells Grace the plan to defeat them for good this time. That was a great superhero hideout, says Grace. Mum smiles, lifts Grace onto her back, and flies her all the way home, because being a superhero is what Mum does best. So, I work for an organization called CAP, or Christians Against Poverty, and my job is to be part of the team for superheroes like Grace's mum. Did you see her superhero plan at the end? Her little booklet, it said Superhero Handbook. I get to help make a plan for superheroes like Grace's mum to know what to do so the grumblies don't come anymore. Did you guys notice where the superhero hideout was? It was in a church, just like this. You see, sometimes one of the jobs that God gives us as the church is to be part of someone's team when they're having a tough time. And we can all be part of that, even kids. Sometimes that means just asking someone if they're doing okay, if they're having a tough time. Sometimes it means being friendly to someone who's a bit lonely, or maybe giving a hug to somebody who's a bit sad. And sometimes maybe we don't know when it's a bit hard and we don't know what to do. But you know what's great? We all know somebody who has all the answers. So we have somebody we can ask when we don't know the answers. So we can ask God to help us to know what to do when one of our friends is having a tough time. So why don't we do that now before we praise and before you guys go out? So we'll just say a wee prayer now. Father, thank you that you are always here for us. And thank you that you made us all in your image, that you love us and you care for us, every person in this world. So God, as we go about our weeks and as we go about our days, help us to see when somebody that we know isn't doing so well. Help us to know when to ask, are you doing okay? Or when to ask, how can I help? Or when to just be loving and caring and to show people that we love them and that you love them. So God, please be with us as we go about our day. And if we're struggling, help us to have the courage, just like Grace's mum, to ask for help as well. Thank you for being with us always and for loving us and taking care of us. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to praise now. I think we're going to sing Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful. I got that right?
All right. We are. And after that, the boys and girls of primary school age are going to go out to prime time. We also have the creche space available for those of you who have pre-primary children with you. And that allows then for the kind of change of tone and feel and atmosphere in here as we come to our main talk later. So we stand together to sing our song. We see each other here on a Sunday. But of course, most of our lives are spent away from this place and are spent outside of this building. And the Bible teaches that that is actually how life is meant to work. We gather here and then we scatter. I want to introduce this next item by playing you a music video which talks about how church is like a harbour. It's a safe place where God gathers us. But then Jesus sends us out from here into our workplaces, our families, our schools, the places where we socialize, and he sends us out from this harbor into all those different places throughout the week to live for him. Watch this next item on the screens.
We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though at times it's wild and cold and dark, it's where we're meant to be. And launch yourself as a bible, though we may be tossed about. But your presence in the storm, it walls us in, calls us out. You left a safe port of heaven for the elements of earth. This God at risk exposed. You lift our eyes to horizons where that heaven brushes earth, and this worn world is transformed. We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though it's Sometimes it's wild and cold and dark. It's where we're meant to be and launch us out as a vibe. Though we may be tossed about, but your presence in the storm, it walls us in, calls us out. You sent us out to the market, sent us out to the fields. Jesus, hope ambassadors. We take no purse for the journey, but take your authority to declare that all is yours. We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though at times it's wild and cold and dark, it's where we're meant to. Your presence in the storm, it walls us in and calls us out. Out to the office, leaving his mark. Out to the factory, his spirit the spark. Out to the school gates and out to the bars. May we risk what was never ours. We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though at times it's wild and cold and dark, it's where we're meant to be. You launch us out as a fire, though we may be tossed about. But your presence in the storm, it walls us in and calls us out. We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though at times it's wild and cold and dark, it's where we're
I want to have a little slot which we may use from time to time here on Sunday mornings called This Time Tomorrow. This Time Tomorrow, inviting somebody up who's going to share with us a little bit about not what they're doing now, because we know what they're doing now, they're in church, but what they're doing this time tomorrow. And Heather is going to come and join us at the front. Heather, if you know how to do anything, you know how to use one of those microphones. But you're not going to sing for us this morning, you're going to talk to us. And the question is very simple. It's 11:30. What are you going to be doing, Heather, this time tomorrow?
This time tomorrow, I will be in an office in Belfast. I will have read all my emails. I might be planning a call with one of my company's clients to check in on them and see how they're doing. So I work for a software company.
Give us the kind of detail of what your job, what do you do in your job?
Okay. My company builds project management software. It's all very exciting. And my role is, my job title is quite embarrassing. It's Enterprise Customer Success Manager, and it means nothing. Basically, all it means is that I look after a certain portfolio of clients of ours who buy our software, and I make sure that they're happy with our software so that they stay and they continue to buy our software. So it's very much a circular role, but
a lot of people who do your kind of work have been working at home.
Yeah.
Are you working in the office now all the time?
Yeah, I work in the office. I just didn't really love working from home. I live alone, so it's quite a lonely space to spend an extra 8 hours of your day. So we have actually a really beautiful office in Belfast. It's gorgeous, and it overlooks the Lagan River, which is just lovely. So I always go into the office now, and then it means I get to spend time with my colleagues and chat to them. And
Roughly, how many people are in your office?
Not very many. So it was built for a lot of people, but only about maybe 10 come in every day. So not very many. But
and very roughly, what are your sort of working hours?
I do roughly 9 to 5. It's not strict, so 8 hours a day, generally, whenever I want to do 8 hours a day. So, yeah.
And your job's one of the jobs where you're interacting with people all around the world,
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Yep, so I've got, from my portfolio, I've got clients as far as Oklahoma on the west and as far as Jerusalem on the east, but mostly European, mostly Europe-based. So yeah, anywhere. We work, so my team that I work in, we're a team of six people. I'm in Belfast, one is in Cork, one's in Barcelona, and we've got two in Florida and one in California. So between the six of us, we try to cover the world, time zone-wise.
Heather, we talked about, on that video, we talked about this idea of being here in the harbour, then going out to do what we do. As you think about the challenges of being a Christian, living with integrity, doing your work well, coping well under pressure, all that kind of stuff, as you think about where you'll be this time tomorrow, how can we pray for somebody like you?
I would really appreciate prayer for the opportunity to talk about going to church and to talk about being a Christian. I think what tends to work better is to go out and be yourself and be a Christian in your environment so that people can get to know you and then have that window of opportunity to talk about why you are the way that you are or why you make the choices that you make. So yeah, if we could please pray for the opportunity to talk about having faith in God and being a Christian, being a person who actively goes to church. I think that would be really helpful to help my colleagues understand what it is to be a Christian and why that sets you apart, but also that you can still be a friend to them and you're still absolutely with them on the journey. Yeah, I would appreciate that.
You said we are, and we're going to pray now. Father, thank you for this reminder that we have a life outside of this place. Lord, we thank you for Heather and thank you for the work that she does in this particular software company. We pray that you would prosper her company that she works for. And Lord, we pray that you'd help her to work with integrity in all that she does. And as she asks, Lord, we pray that you give her opportunity in very natural ways to just share with others who she is and what you mean to her and what being part of a church community means to her. So Lord, help Heather to go into work tomorrow with just a renewed sense that you're with her and that this is for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heather, thank you. We are now going to sing. And we're going to sing a song that reminds us that it's all of our days that we give to the Lord. And then Dan is going to come to the pulpit and speak with us.
My days, I must
Good morning, everybody. I'm so pleased to be with you this morning. Seeing some friendly faces and getting to speak to a few people I know, and some I want to say really old friends, but he's not that old. I know Ricky since we were very, very small. So good to see some friends and friendly faces. And it's also a privilege just to get to worship with the wider Church of God as well. We're all part of God's big family, so it's lovely to be with you together this morning. For those who don't know me at all, I'm Daniel. My fancy title is the Mission and Compassion Associate. I work out of the office up at Carnmoney, and I'm a member of the church up there. And basically, I'm responsible for anything that we do as a church regarding kind of reaching out to the community. So things like running Alpha, and then also all our kind of practical services. So things like the food bank, our uniform ministry, our little kids' charity shop, and then the CAP debt service and our job club. So the plan this morning is to share a little bit about these practical services, what they are, how anyone can access those services or get involved, and then share a little bit about why, as the church, we do this, and then give a little bit of an encouragement as well from God's word and what he speaks to us about. And can I just say, as you'll realize later, I haven't spoken to Niall at all about what he was planning for this morning, but God has this wonderful way, sometimes in church, of just making things work out through his word and through his people. So first, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the Newtownabbey Food Bank. I chair the local food bank committee, and most of you will know a fair bit about the food bank already. I was speaking to Nolene earlier, who obviously takes a very important role in that. I checked our system during the week. We have a fancy database system, and I checked our system, and 147 times people have been referred from this church to come from food over these years. That's 147 families or individuals who have been struggling in the community, but through this church have received that referral to come for emergency food hampers. So even if you know nothing about the service or haven't been hands-on involved, this church is very much an important part of what we do. The food bank exists to ensure that nobody needs to go hungry. We provide three-day emergency food parcels for families who are in crisis, and that could be for a huge variety of reasons, things like losing work, benefit issues, sickness, debt, homelessness, or just simply coping with a very low income. And as we know at the moment, that's even more difficult than normal. We do this in partnership with churches, charitable organizations, statutory agencies, healthcare workers, and advice providers who refer people to us for that support. In the last few years with COVID, it was a pretty intense time. At the first 3 months of COVID, our demand increased by 300%. And we're now working at a position where we're up about 60% on levels pre-COVID. And I think everybody can appreciate how things are just more difficult than they were before. However, God is very, very good, and his people are very, very generous. We never ran out of food. At times we were overstocked and had to take food into a sports hall as well. And we were financially very generously resourced by the people of Newtownabbey. Anyone can support the food bank by dropping a few tins into Tesco Northcote, or by keeping an eye on our Facebook page or the website to see kind of what foods we're running low on, because from time to time we do run low, or just keeping an ear out in church, because when we run particularly low, you'll hear about it through church. But what I'd also ask you to do is to pray for the work. Pray for those making decisions. Pray for our committee as we plan ahead for the future. But especially pray for those who are receiving food, who are struggling to make ends meet. Pray for the volunteers as they kind of do the nuts and bolts of sorting food, dating food, all those kinds of things. And pray for them as well as they meet people face to face, that people would see God's love and compassion through them, and that we would get more opportunities to pray with people and to share a little bit of the hope that we have through Jesus. Also, tell anybody you know who might be able to make use of it. You're hearing all about the cost of living crisis on the news and the radio and TV at the moment. It's a real thing. We're seeing that real need on the ground. And lots of people who are struggling now have never struggled before. A bit like we were telling the kids earlier, keep an eye out for your friends. Be a good neighbor. Be the person who says, is everything okay? Is there any way we could help out? Is there anything you're struggling with at the moment? Sometimes we don't want to do that. We're very proper, and we don't want to get meddled in people's business. But sometimes people just need to know that there's a welcoming ear and a friendly shoulder to cry on if needed. Most of my time is spent running the local CAP debt centre. And practically this involves walking with people through a journey out of debt. People who've often struggled for far too long themselves. So to give you a bit of the nuts and bolts, we give a free, practical, professional, face-to-face debt service in partnership with Christians Against Poverty's head office in Bradford. They have about 300 staff who offer kind of high-quality debt advice and budgeting and all that sort of thing, while then on the ground we offer personal, practical support, encouraging people and building people up as they walk through the grind of getting out of debt. Our service is for anybody. It's non-judgmental, caring, and individual. We offer the love of God in a very practical way, alongside offering to pray for our clients, which is rarely turned down. You wouldn't believe the power of prayer, even with people who don't believe in prayer. And we get to share a bit of our story of faith, encouraging people by telling them where our hope comes from, even in circumstances that may seem hopeless. Locally, we've been so blessed to see over 150 people go debt-free through the work of CAP in Newton Abbey in North Belfast. And we'd be even more privileged to see over 40 people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour through the work. Recently, we celebrated our 700th booking into the centre, which over the course of 12 and a half years averages out at around one new client booking in every single week. It's an incredible amount of need, an incredible work that God is doing through his church. That's 700 people who have either gone debt-free or are going debt-free, or at least have been encouraged and have been pointed in the right direction and have been shown that God's people and God himself loves them, that there's somebody out there who offers a greater hope for them, despite all their challenges. I think it's worth noting as well that the CAP ministry in North Belfast over the last 9 years has been funded through the North Belfast Presbytery. So even if you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I've never had anything to do with this, every one of us has been involved because our presbytery that we're part of funds this work. We couldn't do this without the wider church saying, this is important. God's people want to reach out and serve people who are in debt. So thank you for being part of that. So why do we do it? 67% of our clients sacrificed meals due to debt. 78% say it caused arguments, and 27% say it caused relationship breakdown. 2/3 of our clients struggle from mental health issues, while 11% have attempted suicide, and more have seriously considered it. A few things the clients have said to us is that I felt unworthy and ashamed. I couldn't sleep and didn't open the post. It was frightening. I had no one to turn to. I was on the verge of giving up everything. And as you hear from those stats, they really mean everything. Debt can be caused by all sorts of reasons. Again, similar to food bank, unemployment, relationship breakdown, illness, bereavement, addiction, caring responsibilities can be a big thing. Mental health is a huge issue for many of our clients. Many of the people that we want to walk alongside are really dealing with a lot of things that we couldn't even imagine, but actually many of us have been through ourselves in different ways. As Christians, we have hope. So we share this with others. We pray with our clients. We know that God can intervene in situations where they can't do anything and we can't fix, but God has the power to fix things. To give you a very brief story about one of our clients, during the first few months of COVID, a lady called Maureen, she'd be happy for me to share the story, she's shared it widely, she booked into our local debt centre, and Maureen was looking for help with debt. She'd buried her head in the sand for a long time, and she eventually came to Christians Against Poverty, even though she did not want to see Christians. She'd had experience with church in the past, had been hurt by many things over the years, but realized and heard that Christians Against Poverty was a great organization who could do a helpful work face-to-face for her. Because of COVID, I was able to only speak to her over the phone for the first while. And I'll be honest, the first time I spoke to Maureen, it was not warm, it was not inviting, there was a cold atmosphere. We did the first meeting, I talked to her about the process. And at the end, I said, well, Maureen, would you mind if I prayed with you? And she said yes, but I can tell you, there are many times I felt that the Holy Spirit was at work while I've been working, and that was not one of those times. But we don't know what God is doing in the background. Maureen, despite her reservations about the church, was started working through a process to get out of debt. And a few months later, despite my reservations, I invited her to come to our online Alpha course, which surprisingly she said yes to. And about halfway through the course, she was in our group and she slowly started to open up. And about halfway through the course, about halfway through the night as well, it wasn't even the start, she said, "Well, actually, guys, I have something to tell you. During the week, I sat down, knelt down beside my bed, and I asked Jesus to forgive me for everything that's gone on in the past and to come back and be my Lord and Savior in my life." And she told me then that first night, day when I prayed with her, something happened. And in her heart, though she didn't reveal it to me at the time, the Holy Spirit was working and prompting on her life. And that led her onto a journey where she then came back to faith. Now, that was nothing to do with what I was doing. I was definitely not being very holy at the time, but the Holy Spirit was just working in her life. And God had a different plan. So tell you a little bit now about our job club as well. Alongside the debt work, we partner with Captor on a job club, which normally meets on Thursday mornings up in our youth space. And we have a team who run an 8-week course 3 times a year. This is a combination of course content, one-to-one coaching with trained job coaches, and a welcoming community. There's a light lunch provided each week that's open to absolutely anybody who's looking for work, or maybe even just preparing to get back into the workplace. To look at writing CVs, preparing for interviews, discerning what skills people have and trying to point them towards roles that might be suited to them, building up people's confidence who may have lost that having been out of the workplace. I'm thinking about the attitudes and characteristics need to retain work as well. If you want to know more about this, don't even ask me. Speak to Mark, who's been involved in helping out for the last few years. We believe God has created us all in his image. We all have good things to offer this world, and we were created to work. We also know that the world is broken, and because of many challenges, for some of us, that's really difficult or sometimes not possible. But God puts us all together for a reason. There's a reason why he has his church. There's a reason why we're called to go out into the world, because we're better together. We're meant to be in community, and being together, that community aspect I speak about, it's great because we can build each other up. We can learn from each other. We can grow. We can encourage each other, and that's the kind of thing that happens in the job club. We also run a beautiful pre-loved children's clothes shop called Mana, which is just around the corner from Asher's Bakery up in Carnmoney. It's full of lovely, good quality items that allow families to save a few pounds as their children inevitably grow out of all their clothes every 6 months or so. It's set up like a little boutique and run by a wonderful team of volunteers, and the proceeds go back into the community ministries. If you have kids, or you have grandkids, or you have friends or family of kids, if you haven't been, call up someday. Have a chat to volunteers, have a look around, save a few quid and get a few bits and pieces. And apologies, I don't have a nice graphic for the next one, but if you take down this number for our uniform ministry, if you're ever struggling, or if you come across a family who's struggling with the price of uniforms, which is extortionate, and sometimes pass this on. It's a confidential service, it's non-judgmental, and with the way things are at the moment, things are just getting more and more difficult. But if somebody's struggling with the price of uniforms, we have a brilliant team who are absolutely lovely and are just keen to help. We stock uniforms for all the local schools, and they're able to help with schools further afield as well. But if you ever come across somebody, pass on this number and they can get in touch. So hopefully you've all heard something new from within all of that. I know some of you have already been involved, especially with the Food Bank and Job Club, and we thank you so much for how you've done that. And if anybody wants to get involved in the future, do speak to me, find out a little bit more. I know a few people in this church have been befrienders of CAP and worked with me closely as well. I'm really thankful for that service. These are ministries for the wider community that only happen because God's wider church is generous and good and compassionate and caring. Because we are all trying to care for our neighbours the way that God has shown us to and the way that he's asked us to and told us to. So if something struck you, come and speak to me afterwards or grab me for a chat another time. I'd be very happy to talk to you about any of them. And just as we were saying to the kids, most of all, while these services are great, our main call is to be a good neighbour, be a good friend, be a good family member, to be the person who somebody feels they can turn to show that loving, compassionate heart of Jesus to the people around us, to be the people who kind of say, well, actually, I'm going to step out and say, is there any way I could help? Is there something going on? Can we show Jesus' compassionate heart just in our day-to-day, in practical ways, alongside showing the love and hope that we have in Jesus as our Savior? I want to spend just the next few minutes before we finish, just looking at a passage from God's Word in relation to what we've been thinking about that fits really well with what Niall was sharing with us earlier. But let's just pray for a second before we do that. Father, I thank you that we have your Word. I thank you that your Word is sufficient, that in it we have the words of Jesus on the page, but also through it that your Holy Spirit here with us guides us and teaches us through it. I thank you that we can learn so much about how you call us to serve you, but even more about who you are and about what you mean to us and what you have done to us by dying on the cross. So as we look at your Word now, I pray that you would open our hearts to what you're saying to us, not what my words are, but what you're saying to us, that we would be challenged and that we'll be encouraged by your love for us and your call for us to serve you. We pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Just for a few minutes, I'll just share a little bit from this passage in 2 Corinthians. Just to say to begin with, I'm obviously a member of Carn Money Church just up the road, and we're currently 2 years into, well, 2.5 years now into a 5-year strategy. And our vision is split up into 3 strands: going deeper as disciples, growing closer as family, and reaching wider in witness. And it's this third one is kind of where my role comes in: reaching wider in witness. So I oversee anything that we're doing to engage with our community, both locally and globally, in order to see God's kingdom come, his name be known, and his Son to be known and worshipped as Lord. And in thinking about this, when I look at this passage, it's also in the Bibles on page 1162. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So there's loads that we could unpack in this passage, and I don't have time to do that justice, but I want to think specifically in terms of reaching wider in our witness, what it really means for us as the church. We want to look at verse 20 in particular. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So my wife and I have a favorite TV show called The West Wing. It's an American drama. Does anybody know it? A few hands? One or two? Okay, a few at the back too. We've watched it through, this is pretty sad, but 4 or 5 times together. In particular, each time in the early weeks of our child's lives, you know those weeks where they're just up and down every couple of hours or one of them is straddled to you at all times, we spend our lives in our house watching The West Wing. And it follows the staff of the U.S. president as they work through the political issues of the day, all sorts of things. But as I've gotten older, I've become a bit fascinated by the foreign ambassadors that they often communicate with. And there's jokes about how sometimes they're getting up to no good and they're getting parking tickets and partying too hard. But when it comes down to it, they are there to be their country's representative, to communicate their leader's position, to argue their case. It comes with special privileges, but also huge responsibility. So what is Paul saying to us when he calls us Christ's ambassadors? Well, he clarifies it in the passage, as though God were making his appeal through us. So it's very similar to what we see in the TV show. We're to be representatives of God and to relay his message. However, there's a striking difference. Ambassadors appointed by a foreign nation are in place to protect their country's interest, and especially their leader's interest. That might be political or economic. They can often be in terms of life and death situations. They might bring bad news, things that could lead to fear or destruction. But as Christ's ambassadors, we bring a very different message. We offer a very different position. We represent a much better position, because the one that we represent took on death himself, so we bring a message of life. The one we represent took on the cost so we can offer a free gift. A world ambassador brings a message of, we want you to do this, or we are going to do this, because it's in their best interest or their leader's best interest. However, Christ's ambassadors bring a message of, God has already done this for you because it's what's in your best interest. Our attitude as ambassadors of Christ is with open hands outstretched, filled with love and compassion, offering to give and serve, not to take, not to assert power. We're ambassadors of Christ's attitude, of his example, not protectors of an interest. The rest of the passage makes this mission or this ministry or this message quite clear. There's two words or phrases that stand out. If anyone is in Christ, from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, the ministry of reconciliation, God was reconciling to himself in Christ. Reconciliation in Christ. According to the dictionary, reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relations. So, making up with your neighbor whose dog has been pooping in your garden, that might be a real life illustration. Except it's not really just that, is it? Are you reconciled if you've given up the argument, but you haven't really forgotten the disagreement? Are you reconciled if you still harbor a little bit of ill will towards the person? Or you still think a little bit worse of them? Or you still daydream about lifting up some of that poop and just laying it on their doorstep? I'm a little bit of a geek or a nerd when it comes to numbers. And I used to work for a few cafes, and I was the person who really enjoyed at the end of the day counting up the money and making sure everything tied up correctly. I know that's a little bit sad, and most people would absolutely hate that rule. In accounting, reconciliation is the process of comparing transactions and activity to supporting documentation. Further, reconciliation involves resolving any discrepancies that may have been discovered. Resolving any discrepancies. When we're reconciled to Christ, we haven't just made up after a fallout. We haven't shaken hands and promised to leave it behind and do better, and that's kind of it. Everything is left right. The discrepancies need to be resolved. If we look at the tense that's in this passage, this is from God who reconciled us to himself, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, was reconciling the world to himself, has committed to us, be reconciled to God. God made him. This reconciliation has been done. It's past tense. The discrepancies have been resolved. The old has gone, the new is here. For those in Christ, we have been made right with God. And notice, it's the righteousness of God, not like or partly, but the righteousness of God. We've been made completely righteous, resolved, it's reconciled. And who did this work? God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. If we are in Christ, we are made new. We're reconciled. We're beneficiaries of his good news. Good charities talk a lot about involving the voices of those with lived experience when they make plans and they communicate. Both the Trust of Trust, who run food banks, and CAP, running the debt advice, say this a lot in relation to their services. And some even call them ambassadors for the work. We, as Christians, are the ones with lived experience. We have been reconciled. We're benefiting from the work that has been done in Christ, making us the ideal ambassadors to share that news. There's one final little thing we need to remember as his ambassadors, and it fits so well with that video from earlier. It would make no sense for the British ambassador to the United States to stay in Britain. Joe Biden may as well just pick up the phone and ring Boris or whoever is going to be in charge in future. The whole point is that the ambassador has gone to the foreign nation. An effective ambassador is there with the people. They're an effective communicator in their culture and their context. They understand where the fault lines are, and they understand the people they're communicating to. Ambassadors are sent. They return home again. They communicate with their leaders. They receive their instructions from home, and they are sent out again, all the while committed to their king and committed to his message. God has sent each and every one of us who know him. If anyone is in Christ, he sent us into our workplaces, our sports clubs, our community groups, into our families, our friendships. Some of us will get sent further. Some of you guys are going to Cambodia. That's wonderful. And when we think about culture and context and the fault lines of today's society, issues of poverty are right up there. So just as a thought to leave with you, where is he sending you? Or moreover, where has he sent you? Who has he sent you to? Reading this passage, I think it's clear, simply from the basis of repetition, that the big point to take away is that Christ has done something in reconciling us to him that is worth being sent for. And when he looks at us, when he looks at you, when he looks at me, when we are in Christ, we're somebody who he sees as worthy of carrying that message. We have an incredibly good, incredibly gracious, and incredibly forgiving, loving, and caring God. And when we really get that God views us in this way, and that the message that we have is so powerful, we can't help but ask, where does our ambassadorship lie? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that because of what your Son did on the cross for us, you view us as righteous in your eyes. I thank you for what's been done for us, God. I thank you for what you're continually doing in our lives, bringing us closer to you and helping us to know you more and to begin to see how you view us. Father, I pray that as we go into this world, that we would be reminded of your presence with us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to comfort us when we need it, and to show us where we can be part of your great work in this world. I pray that we can be doing things that you're guiding us to that just help to bring your kingdom forward, Lord. I pray that we can be showing people a little foretaste of what's to come, foretaste of your goodness, your graciousness, your kindness, your love and care. And that as we do these practical things of reaching out with open arms, of saying people are welcome to be part of our lives, as we're reaching out to them and saying, how can we serve you through the power of God and through the power of his church, that we would also be saying, we have this incredible message, incredible hope through your Son, Jesus Christ. That we would know it truly in our hearts, would be powerfully transformed through it, and that we would carry it with us wherever we go. Help us to see with your eyes where you're leading us to and who you have us sharing our lives with. We pray this all in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Dan was reminding us he works out of the centre up in Carnmoney. Dan is also an elder in the church in Carnmoney. And thank you for reminding us this morning of how these kind of friendships can help us to be Christ's ambassadors here in this, our community. So maybe something that Dan has shared this morning has connected with you in terms of a personal need. Dan has talked about those who are really struggling with the whole cost of living crisis. That might be as basic as food, He's also talked about debt. Debt doesn't just affect people who look as if they're struggling. Sometimes debt can become a real burden for people who look as if they're doing very well. If you would like to access any of the things that Dan has talked about, you can find CAP Centre on Google up at Cairn Money, or I'm very happy to confidentially point you in Dan's direction. Maybe on the other side of the equation, you've heard what Dan's doing this morning and you've thought, that's something I could help with. It's maybe something I could contribute to. It's maybe something I could volunteer with. If you would like to know more, as I say, Dan will be hanging around afterwards. So thank you. And we've really benefited and appreciated from that this morning. Let's sing a final song that talks about what it is to hear this call to be kingdom people. And whatever tomorrow has us, whether it's in a software company, whether it's involved in something in the life of the church, whether it's being out in our community, wherever it is, hear the call of the kingdom. Let's stand together to praise God. This is the moment in the service when it's great to hear all the noise and hustle and bustle of all the boys and girls coming back in. So it's good to have you with us. We are looking forward to Children's Day, which is in 2 weeks' time. Just to give you advance notice, we're going to have a church picnic out in the grounds. Apparently in 2 weeks' time, it's going to be a wonderful day. The sun's going to shine all day. And so 2 weeks' time, boys and girls will be leading the service and then a picnic outside for everybody who's able to stay after that. To remind our elders, short meeting through in the committee room immediately after the service. So I'm going to ask Johnston if he'll go to the door and he can wave you all goodbye for this morning, and I'll go on through to that meeting. Let me part you with words of blessing. So Father, help us to grow together. Lord, whether it's here in Ballyhenry, whether it's up the road in Cairn Money, whether it's in other churches in this community that seek to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may shine for you, and that men and women, boys and girls and young people may see the light of Christ, be drawn into his kingdom, and go from this place to serve you in the world. So we pray your blessing and keeping in Jesus' name. Amen.